afternoon, and thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to share some of my research data. Those of you who heard me talk this morning, there will be some duplication, Scott, sorry. There will be some duplication of slides, but I try to keep it a little more detailed in this one. So the title of my presentation is going to be Impact of Extreme Temperatures and Drought on Yield of Food Crops, and I'll show you specific data from grain sorghum, but I do have data on wheat and also some of the legumes such as mung bean and peanuts. So first, Dr. Donatelli really nicely explained about the extreme weather events and how they can range from a couple of days to entire season. So we'll look into what short episodes of extreme heat stress would do, and we'll talk about sensitive stages and thresholds for duration and temperature, example of grain sorghum. And then we'll talk about medium duration temperature stress. This is under field conditions where we expose the plants during the entire flowering period and also during the entire grain filling and how it impacts yield components. And then we'll talk about season-long temperature stress and thresholds, how different crop species varies in their response. And if there is time, I'll go into the drought stress and response of field crops and the sensitive stages of drought stress. So first, extreme temperature events, how short episodes of heat stress affects reproductive growth. So all of these experiments were done in a controlled environment where we grew a set of plants under normal conditions, and then at a specific stage of crop development, we exposed them to heat stress for a set duration, at set intensity, and after that stress period, they came back to their optimal condition and then stayed there until maturity. And I'm going to show you the data on floret fertility or the seed set. That means the number of florets which were exposed to heat stress, how many of those actually converted and formed seed, which is one of the primary or one of the important component of yields. And I'll also show you some data on seed size, which is another important component of the yield. In all of these experiments, we made sure that they were fully irrigated, so there is no confounding effects of water stress. So this is the first slide, in a sense. So the x-axis is the timing of high temperature stress relative to anthesis. Zero is anthesis, 5 days before, 10 days before, and then this is 5, 10, 15 days after anthesis. And this data is on floret fertility, and data is expressed as percentage of control. So this is our control, which is optimum temperature, 25 degrees Celsius, and then high temperature is 30 degrees Celsius, and duration of stress in this case is 5 days, and the differential between day and night is 10 degrees Celsius. So as you can see, it's a U-shaped curve. The maximum reduction is occurring when the stress was imposed at flowering or pre-anthesis, 5 days before flowering, so whereas after the 5 days there is no effect on floret fertility. So that clearly shows that the most sensitive stage is pre-flowering, about 5 to 10 days before. That's where all the gametogenesis, the viability of the pollen grains and viability of the stigma is being determined. And the second one is at the time of flowering, that is pollination, pollen sheath growth, and the fertilization is happening. Once the embryo is formed, it's reasonably stable, and it's tolerant to heat stress. And when the stress was imposed at the grain filling, that is after 5, 10, 15 days after flowering, then you see a decrease in the individual grain weight. That means that if the plant is exposed to short episodes of heat stress at rapid grain filling stage, it will affect the duration of the seed filling, and then it decreases the grain size. So those are the two components. And now let's look at the thresholds. So how many days does it actually have to be there, and how does that response look like? So here is here's the threshold for temperature. Then these are the mean daily temperature and effects on floret fertility. So as you can, this is mean daily, that is average of daytime high and nighttime minimum. So as you can see, with increasing temperatures of 26 degrees Celsius, there's a gradual decrease in the floret fertility, whereas there is not so much on the individual grain weight. So there is a linear decrease of floret fertility with increasing temperatures from 26, and at 38 mean, there is no seed set, or there is no seed numbers formed at that stage. So what's the threshold for duration of stress? So in this case, we have duration of stress all the way from starting from heading, start of head initiation. So we have all the way from 1 day to 35 days, and again, floret fertility. So there is a quadratic decrease in the so that fertility with increasing duration of the stress. So by 21 days, beyond 21 days, it's really not much further decreasing. Whereas on the individual grain weight, 14 days and above, the first 14 days there was not much effect. But then when the rapid grain felling stage it was exposed, then there is a linear decline with increasing duration of stress. Increasing duration of stress at heading. And whereas this is the effect of the mean daily temperature again, but this is at the start of the grain felling. Now we're in the next phase, start of the grain felling. So in case of sorghum, at the start of the grain felling mean temperature, there is no effect on floret fertility because they are already fertilized. And there is not, we don't see much abortion in this case. But in the corn, we see a lot of abortion. In corn, this slide we can actually see decreases also. But in sorghum, we did not see any abortion. Whereas the individual kernel grain weight is linearly decreased with increasing temperatures. And the duration is also a similar response. There is a quadratic decrease with increasing duration of stress. So we have a complete set of this information about sensitive stages, thresholds for temperature, thresholds for duration, at different crop development stage, if any of the models are interested to use this. So that was about the short episodes. Now, medium duration stress. Now I'm talking about entire flowering or entire grain felling. So for this, under field conditions. So for this, we use heat tents. In Kansas weather, if you put these heat tents on the crop, you can increase the temperatures inside the heat tents by about 10 to 12 degrees Celsius because we have very high radiation load. But only disadvantage is that the effects are only daytime temperatures, because in the nighttime temperatures, it really pretty much stabilizes and there's no radiation heating, so we have only normal nighttime temperatures. So this is how the data looks. Like this is the daytime temperatures, about 43 degrees Celsius average, and then 36 under ambient and 43 under high temperatures. Nighttime there is no difference in the inside or outside the heat tents. So this is the data. Again, this was panicle initiation through seed set. So all the gamut viability, pollination, and seed set, that was the duration of the stress. So no effect on the florets per panicle, but seed numbers per panicle, floret fertility was decreased. Not much effect on individual grain weight because we did not go into the seed filling or rapid seed filling stage. But so the grain weight decrease is a direct reflection of the effect on floret fertility and seed numbers. The next one is now this is the data from when the plants are exposed from grain felling to physiological maturity. So now you can see the effect on the seed size. So here again, daytime temperature 40 degrees, and then under heat stress, and then optimum is 30 degrees, and nighttime temperatures are the same. So here again, no effect, no abortion in this case, and the seed numbers are also not affected because that's already done. Whereas the maximum effect is on the individual seed weight, which is reflecting in the loss of the total grain yield. So that was the entire set of data on sorghum. So we have a similar set of data on wheat as well, which I'm not going to present. So now, how does the threshold for season-long temperatures of various crops look like? So this is a summary of all the crops which I have worked so far. Wheat, rice, sorghum, millet, dry bean, peanut, and soybean. This is the data on harvest index, how mean daily temperatures influence the harvest index. As you can see, the ceiling temperatures for various cereals varies. Wheat is 31, rice is 35, sorghum 38, millet 41. And then this is for dry bean 32, 39 for peanut, and 40 for soybean. So that really covers the entire season. This is season-long effects and done in the spar chambers at University of Florida with Ken Burry. So in this case, you may be asking whether, because we have a different daytime temperatures, but we maintain the same relative humidity. So that gives us different vapor pressure deficits. So our vapor pressure deficit, this is the data on the vapor pressure deficit, and that's how it goes through. So we go through the daytime, the maximum vapor pressure deficit for 44 is about 3.5. So we have differential vapor pressure deficit as we go through different temperatures. So I just wanted to let you know. So I have time, so I have 10 more minutes, so I'll probably cover the drought stress also in terms of response of field crops. Now, most of you might have already seen this figure. This is the amount of water used, seed yield, and this is in response of ET to yield. is a linear increase. With increasing ET, the yield increases. But if you account for water use, which includes ET plus runoff and drainage, it becomes little bit more plateau after. It's not a linear increase, but it really becomes a little bit plateau. And the threshold ET is the minimum amount of ET required to produce some grain. And this curve really changes with different crops. These are all the crops for Kansas. We have grain sorghum here, corn here, winter wheat, soybean, and sunflower. So this is a seed yield, albis per acre, and this is the ET in terms of inches. So as you can see, different crops will have different thresholds. So corn would need a minimum of 11 inches of water to produce the first bushel or first pound of yield. And whereas sorghum would require only 6.9 inches of water. Soybean 7.8. So the threshold, initial bushel, which is minimum requirement of certain amount of water required for crops, varies. And then, but once that is reached, the slope of this curve gives the response to that increased water. Whereas the corn has a maximum 13.3, so the rapid increase with more ET, there is more yield increases per unit addition of ET. And so sorghum is right below that 9.4, wheat is 4.6, and soybean is 3.8. So that gives the response of various crops to ET. Now, sensitive stages, fortunately for sorghum, the sensitive stages for drought are similar to that of heat. So this is a meta-analysis I took this data and redrawn from this paper, D'Arianto. So it was really a very comprehensive meta-analysis data. They really used all the literature data available on drought stress and tried to summarize it. So I took those information and redrew that. So these are various crops. Observed yield reduction under drought stress. Sorghum has the lowest reduction, about 30%. This is a mean of 170 studies in the literature. And then pearl millet is 37. If I were to do it more, I think I was guessing pearl millet will be on the left side of the sorghum. But the amount of data set available for pearl millet is very low, 37 versus 170. So maybe that is part of the reason. And then wheat is next, and then maize next, and then rice is the most sensitive. This is observed yield reduction. And for them, this was drought exposed. They didn't take into account the stages at which they were exposed. They really included everything, and rain-fed versus irrigated were included in that. So now they also separated out based on the development stage when the drought stress was occurring. So when the stress was vegetative stage, 265 data, that has the lowest reduction, that is about 20%. Whereas when the stress was during reproduction, 655 data sets, there was 30% yield decrease. In combination of vegetative and reproductive, you had the maximum decrease. So that tells that reproductive stages of development are more sensitive to drought stress as well. Now, to pinpoint which stage, again, we use the same protocol as I showed you for heat stress. I did it for drought stress in sorghum. So this was under optimal temperature conditions, and then we exposed the plants to drought stress. This was a little difficult to do because drought does not happen like heat immediately as you put in. It constantly goes down. So it really, there was a lot of hit and trial technique before we could figure out how much was the drought stress and was it actually happening at development stage. But almost similar, flowering maximum reduction, 10 days before flowering, second most sensitive stage, this is grain numbers. And with same thing with individual seed numbers, if it was the later stages, after the seed set, then you have decreased individual grain weight. Similar story, but they took a lot more time to come up with this one rather than the heat stress one. And this is a field experiment. We try to do irrigation studies that complements that was under controlled environments. This is under field conditions. So they had a pre-plant only irrigation, and then this is full season irrigation. Full season irrigation, you have 126 bushels. Pre-plant only, it's 65. Pre plus boot stage only, just one pre and one boot stage, it pretty much was similar to that of full season. And then pre plus half boom, pre plus half boom. This really, again, tells us the same thing. Reproductive stages, booting more sensitive. One irrigation at booting, it's equivalent to an entire season of irrigation. So that really coincides with what my previous figure was showing. And this is a data set on corn. This is not mine, but it's in the literature, Klassen. This is a corn daily water use. with increasing emergence, maximum at tasseling and silking, and it comes down. That's a typical water use of corn plant. And this is a corn susceptibility stress. Follows exactly the same trend as the water use. So tasseling and silking being the most susceptible to drought stress. And they have the data on yield showing that that's the maximum reduction when the stress was happening. So again, both of these data sets clearly shows which is the most sensitive stage to drought stress. And this is the yield component. This is the data from Tim Setter. And they really showed again very nicely that this was water stress 3 to 8 days after pollination. So there's a lot of abortion, as I mentioned. We did not see any abortion in case of sorghum, but there's a lot of abortion of seeds. This is possibly because there is sink and source relationships going on. So we have the kernel dry weight decreased, kernel numbers per year decreased, number of kernels counting from the ear tip. So most of the abortion occurs in the tip. That's probably the reason here. But in case of sorghum, the panicle is all there, and the flowering goes from middle to the top. So there is no opportunity for abortion in those cases, or it does not happen. So now, conclusions. Probably convinced you that short episodes, 1 to 10 days of extreme temperatures, if occurred at critical stages of crop development, will negatively influence, even under fully irrigated conditions. So your irrigation is not going to overcome the effects of heat stress. You might be able to manipulate in certain legumes. If you are able to change the microclimate, you will overcome that. But for cereals, because it's top, the reproductive tissues on the top, you don't have that option. Grain crops are sensitive to heat stress during gametogenesis, flowering, and grain filling. Gametogenesis and flowering being the most, followed by grain filling. An impact on temperature response function yield depends upon timing, intensity, and duration. And you have the response and the thresholds for at least sorghum shown here. And then we have other data sets on wheat and peanuts as well. And grain yield increases with increasing water use and ET. Threshold response varies with crop species, with sorghum being the most tolerant, followed by millet, followed by maize, followed by rice. And then reproductive stages are more sensitive to drought when compared to vegetative stages. That's also true for drought. Then high temperature and drought during gametogenesis and flowering decrease seed numbers. And when the stress occurs during grain filling, it decreases the grain size. So the two most important components of the yield are affected when based on what time the stress occurs. Now the question is, do the crop models have these temperature response functions included in them or not? So some of them may have that, or a lot of them probably don't have it. So I hope I'm convinced, I'm trying to convince you that probably you need to try and look into this and then see if you can better simulate the impacts of future climate change scenarios, which Dr. Donatelli was showing. And then of course the whole issue of using crop models can help with G by E by M interaction. So if you have a genotype so that you can avoid the heat stress during that critical stage of development, so you really need to know your environment best and then look at which genotype, which crop fits your environment, and within that crop species, what duration of crop, because there are different maturity groups, different durations of crop, so that you can select those which can avoid. And then you can also put in traits to see if there was an increased fertility of the florets, how much yield benefits will you actually get, and in which regions would you get those yield benefits. So simulation models have a lot of can play a significant role in guiding us through this research, but we have to ensure that these models are sensitive or responsive to these extreme events of temperature or drought. With that, I will stop and take any questions if you have. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sure we have a lot of questions. Yes, sir.
Yes, those are the challenges.
Yeah, the question
is the first question was related to the temperature and the relative humidity and the wind and the environment which we control. So the good thing is about this, in this grow chamber, is where we kept the relative humidity same, so we do have that vapor pressure deficit changing with the increasing diurnal fashion of temperature, so that is included. But the second question which you talked about, the community of crops, that is hard to duplicate in the grow chamber. So, and I don't know how much influence would that have in terms of the sensitivity, because we are talking about changing in the microclimate. And the biggest thing is in Kansas, it's not that different because we have a very high wind. So even if there is any microclimate change because of your larger population, it's just taken away. And then if there is any humidity, they could be a week long. So if you are using short periods, less than a week, then that will be an issue. And in this case, again, there's again tillering, so there's a whole big issue. In this case, we were following the tag florets. So I'm assuming that hopefully, if they are exposed in the individual florets are exposed in the heat, then you would see the similar response, but it's not as controlled as. So I appreciate the question. Thank you.
Any other question? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
First you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yes.
At the beginning, you said for the heat experiment, it was called for irrigation. I don't know if you analyze combined stress, growth and heat. I don't know if you
have that. Yes, we have. I have not shown you that data. We do have some of the data sets on wheat and sorghum, where combined drought and heat stress, how does that affect? So to quickly, there are differences. Some of them are additive, depending upon which trait you are looking at. Some of them are non-additive. So yes, we do have. But the mechanisms are different.
Yes, sir.
I like your heat experiments, so you were able to do a longer term temperature.
Yes.
You showed that the nighttime temperature was similar.
Yes, yeah.
And in some cases, they expect the nighttime temperature to increase more, and some
absolutely. Yes, that's a great question. Again, the question is that in the longer term heat stress, can you duplicate that in the field? Answer is yes, using the heat tents. And the second question is more about the daytime temperatures and nighttime temperatures, and how would it have different effects? Absolutely, yes. In this case, we had no control of the nighttime temperature only experiments, but we did compare day and nighttime temperature separately in the grow chamber experiments, and you're right, the nighttime temperatures are much more detrimental, and the effects are slightly different, and we see more effects of nighttime temperature on the viability of the pollen grains, not so much on at anthesis. So there are some differences, again, because of high respiration and everything, there are differences between day and nighttime temperatures. And the effect, in general, the effect of nighttime temperatures is greater. And you have also, there's a literature available which shows that the same response, that nighttime temperature is more detrimental, particularly for wheat and rice. It's published in from Simmet and Eric. Yeah.
Yeah. One last quick question. Yeah.
How did you maintain the drought in the field conditions because we don't have control on rain? Did you use the rain sensors?
No. In case of heat tents, we irrigated the field. So that's how we avoided the heat, drought stress when we put the heat tents on. And as far as the question about imposing the drought, we used the fraction of the soil water, we measured the parts and put it back. That was in the part study. And then the way we imposed drought stress in the field is using the rainout shelters.
Thank you, Vara. Once more, a big applause for Dr. Vara.